Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. As reported yesterday by our Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill, public school officials in Springfield, Massachusetts will be mailing letters and making telephone calls to the parents and guardians of thousands of middle and school-age students to let them know about the district's new condom availability policy. Starting September 1st, condoms will be available to students from school nurses, parents and guardians who do not want their children to have condoms can opt out of the policy. But at least one school committee member has called the idea that condoms could be given out to schools to 12-year-olds unnerving. What do you think of this policy? Should school nurses be allowed to distribute condoms? Do you think this will lead to fewer pregnancies or cases of sexually transmitted diseases? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551 or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. That's one word, WAMC Vox Pop. You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And our wonderful Patrick Donges will get those comments right in here and tell me what you've said. Okay, so now the question becomes, what do you think? There are three phones out of the five. That's pretty good without even starting. Let's go to Marta in Poughkeepsie, Po-Town. Marta, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Chartok. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have thought about this a long time, and I definitely think condoms are part of the solution to sexually transmitted diseases. And we know children are sexually active even younger than 12 in some instances, but not to give them knowledge to protect themselves would be insane. But I think even more important than condoms, because they do not prevent transmission of, like, the human papillomavirus, for instance, which causes cervical cancer, which usually kills you, that what we should promote is banning penile penetration. I call it BPP. And it would be voluntary, but it's the only way to make sure that no sexually transmitted diseases get through.
But Marta, if I could just ask you this, is that naive? I mean, one of the reasons that they're doing this, obviously, is things are getting out of control. And 12-year-olds are doing it. So, you know, you've got Nancy Reagan saying just say no in the old days. But when you say PPP and you can't do it, how do you achieve that goal?
Well, if you start promoting banned penile penetration, BPP, banned penile penetration, just get drum it into their heads instead of, like, you know, really what penile penetration is, the foundation of male domination. It is hyped, and it's all over the internet, it's all over the movies, it's in the music, it's all about penetrate. That is the most deadly thing that anyone can do to a person nowadays. You know, 80% of everybody's got human papillomavirus from what I'm reading.
Yes, they do.
And gonorrhea, you can't even treat it with penicillin anymore.
Right. Well, Marta, you make great sense in
many
ways.
Listening.
I wish we could just shake our fingers at people and say, don't do it.
It's voluntary, but we've got to promote it.
Well, no, I think that's part of the solution. I think you make great sense about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay. That leaves two free phones open. Let's go to Beverly in Schenectady. All right, Beverly, your turn.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
When you said 12 years old is what they're, you know, as young as they're giving the... that piqued my memory because I know of an individual who said that he and his 12-year-old girlfriend had a child, and he lost touch with her and didn't even know about the child until the child was 4 years old, and now he's still having trouble with trying to stay in touch with the mother, who's obviously not a fit mother. And so you're talking about the children, the results of these types of engagements, and I think it's natural and normal for them to have sex education. I think they should have that along with the condom. It's not like you're giving them a free ride. It's just that you're saying this is your responsibility. Sexuality is a person's responsibility.
It is, and it goes back to the cave people. And so that's the problem. I mean, the instinct is always sometimes greater than the propriety, than the, you know, doing the right thing.
Are they still having children carry around an egg, you know, that's like a baby? Do they still do that? They used to do that in, like, junior high.
Beats me. I've so long since I've been out of junior high school that, you know, I'm running around with a dinosaur.
I heard that, you know, and it's sort of like, you know, that's how you take care of a baby. And I don't know if that was very
effective.
Helpful or not.
Yeah. Hey, Beverly, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Sure.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Jim in Kingston, your turn.
Hi, Alan. This is, you know, I think it's really good. It's unfortunate. It's another case of where there's a social problem and we're going to pass it off to the schools and then we blame the schools for everything. And it's sad, just like I think your first caller said, between the internet, music videos, ads, clothes styles. We sell everything with sex, and then we don't expect these children to react.
That's a very good point. We sell everything with sex. We sell clothing with sex. I think it's so fascinating and so disappointing that we have to come up with solutions that demand balance. I mean, who likes the idea of giving out condoms to children? On the other hand, you know, I mean, it's a reality. The reason this is happening is that these people in the schools are desperate. They know what they're coming up with.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's a problem that's more social. Parents have a hard time dealing with it, and society in general does. So we pass these issues off onto the schools, and then if something goes wrong, well, it's the school's fault.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim, these hormones.
I'm a teacher, Alan. Yeah. I've taught middle school. You can tell that lady, yes, they still carry around the egg.
Thanks, Jim. I loved your call. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. One free phone open because Jim got off. And now it is Brian's turn in Springfield, Massachusetts. Brian, you're on.
Hi. I'm from Springfield, Mass. originally, and actually I'm just leaving Springfield, Mass. and heading back towards upstate New York. And every time I drive through Springfield, I'm amazed at how young the parents are walking around in the streets of the city.
Yep.
And I can't remember, I had heard statistics of what the teenage pregnancy rate was there, and it floored me. And I'm sorry, it's escaping me, the percentage, but I think it's a good idea, but like the previous caller said, I think it's unfortunate that this falls on the school's burden and not being taken care of in the home.
Hey, Brian, you got a better idea.
I don't, but I think that this will definitely open up some dialogue. Because I know that there's going to be a lot of backlash from parents saying, I don't want my kids getting this. And I hope that the school district and the school committee will pull some meetings together and get the parents more involved and get the parents to come up with a better idea.
You know, in the old days, this is a story I probably shouldn't tell, but in the old days, let's say I was 18 or 19 in college, you thought you were going to have intercourse. You went to a drugstore and you couldn't get them unless you went to the back of the store and talked to the druggist. And if in fact it wasn't a druggist there, if it was a female druggist, then you turned around and fled. So now you
just
can,
like in the movie The Graduate, right?
I think so. That's right. but I remember it very well. Here we have a sort of situation where you walk into a drugstore now, and there are these vast displays, you know, of this stuff. So the real question is, will this lead young people, by getting these, to do more sex? It seems to me it's hard to believe that that's the case. What do you think?
I don't know. I think time's going to tell, right?
Time's going to tell. That's what everybody always says. Or as they say at the end of a television newscast, which I did for about 25 years, keep an eye on this, Alan.
Right.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Good luck, Springfield.
Good luck, Springfield. 1-800-348-2551. Chad in Canaan. Okay, Chad, you're on.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and follow suit with the previous two callers saying shame on the parents. I mean, you can't leave these kinds of things up to the school. Who knows what kind of taxpayers' money that this is, you know, that this is costing us as well.
Chad,
to get involved with their child's lives.
Now, Chad, I don't want to be a bad guy here, but you know, but you know full well that this can be intergenerational. It can go on from one generation to another. You're absolutely right. Nobody could argue with you that the parents should be involved, that they should counsel and the rest of it. But, you know, sometimes you have people who are putting needles in their arms. And they're not going to be concerned about what their kid is doing. And they're lucky the child is even going to school in some of these cases. And the school has to assume that responsibility. I mean, I wish I could say something else.
It's so sad. It's, I mean, when we have parent-teacher conferences about the actual education of the child, that's routine. But you're right. I mean, ultimately, you're right.
Yeah. Hey, Chad, thank you so much for the call. I know I can hear the frustration in your voice, and I share it with you. I appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. 1-800-348-2551. The phones are loaded. There is actually one free phone.
Support for WAMC comes from Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm. Snowfarm.org. Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing high-efficiency gas and oil heating systems to the Pioneer Valley for over 45 years, now expanding into the Westfield area. RichardsFuel.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Brazilian Big Beat Dance Party on Saturday, September 1st, massmocha.org. WMHT Production Services, providing high-definition video production on location, post-production editing and graphics, as well as full DVD duplication services, WMHT.org. And Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Serving the greater capital region, Glens Falls, Saratoga, and the Berkshires, interimhealthcare.com.
Matthew Sisman came on WAMC's Facebook page and said, how are they focusing on teaching them the basics? Well, I do know that there's a lot of sex education going on in our schools, Matthew, not in all of them and not enough. But as you know, there are many people from many different perspectives, religious, cultural, who think this is a bad idea because they always say you're going to encourage people. But Matthew, thanks for checking in with us at on WAMC on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Let's go to Robert in Springfield. Robert, you're on.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Alan.
Sure.
I have two children who have graduated from Springfield Public Schools, actually one. I pulled my daughter out because it took roughly 20 minutes for the class to settle down before the teachers could start teaching. And she graduated from private school, or she's graduating this year from private school. It's incumbent upon the teachers to teach education, and I think this is a part of it. Anything to stop teenage pregnancy is welcome. And this is, it's an outrage that teachers have to endure the misbehaving of children for so much of the day before they get the class started. My point is, hey, let's all get this together and not have the teenage pregnancy. So I endorse this new policy, and I'm concerned with how it's going to be implemented.
And your concern is?
Well, my concern is they're going to have, you know, buckets of condoms at the door. You know, I heard in the top of the show that it's the nurse, or the parent to give them out. As we've heard in previous conversation, the parents are just not available, present for the children. And, you know, another caller said it's so hard to get it from the drugstore. What makes you think that it's going to be so easy to implement this through the school?
Well, no, it's not going to be easy. And you put your finger right on the whole problem. I mean, you can't obviously afford to have like a bunch of M&Ms, a basket with all the condoms in it, because people will come and they'll just take them. But on the other hand, if they don't take them, then you're going to have more pregnancies. So if you're doing marketing and you're saying, okay, anybody who wants it could come in and just grab a handful, is that better than having one pregnancy?
It is, and it's the last caller mentioned, it's really up to the parents to guide and mentor their children.
Well, that's easy to say, but we know that that doesn't work. I mean, I'm not trying to give you a hard time, Robert, obviously, but it doesn't work. I mean, there are parents who can do this kind of thing, and there are many parents who cannot. And single homes sometimes, and, you know, somebody's got a problem, and that kid is unrestrained.
Sometimes the bridge between the parents and the children is the school, where the kids get
exactly.
a wake-up call, and... So it is the only obvious other place that we can concentrate.
Robert, thank you for your call. Very, very important that you call in. Thank you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Yeah. Let's go to Greg in Pasetto. Okay, Greg, you're on.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Alan?
So far, so good.
Good. Hey, listen, I'm probably going to raise a lot of people's hackles here.
Yep.
But
just don't say anything that makes me push the red button, okay?
No, yeah. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is the moral fabric in this country is degraded to the point where people are acting almost animalistic at certain levels with certain people.
Well, no, this is there's no question that you're right about that. This is animalistic. And as somebody who was once 16 myself, I understand. And that hasn't changed in all of these years. So so what's your answer?
Well, I disagree with, the schools are taking some action here to help prevent teenage pregnancies or even beneath that. But it all starts at home with the parents.
No, everybody says that. But how do you get parents?
One of the things that's going to cause people to get upset is one of the places where morals come from is through religion. And, you know, when you go back to thinking psychology where you've got the id, the ego, superego, that is an instrument that can be used, you know, for the individual to control their own behavior.
Yeah.
In other words, they have morals and values, and those are gone. But
well, wait a second. I missed the religious reference. Now, you know there'll be some religious groups who will oppose this, right?
Well, oppose what I'm saying?
No.
They will be opposed to the idea of providing condoms. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
It should be... Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Now, you're saying it's the responsibility of school to provide condoms for the kids to keep them from getting pregnant.
No, Greg, you mistake the what I'm doing here. I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening
to
you.
Okay, that's the argument, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but my point is, okay, what happens when they get pregnant? Is that now the school's problem or is that the taxpayer's problem?
Well, it's the taxpayer's problem, so?
Oh, well, that's not right. That should be the parents' problem. I mean, when I grew up, I misbehaved. I got punished.
Yeah.
Today, the kids don't. They're running around in gangs, literally, destroying property.
Some are.
Well, that starts with the parents. You know, why aren't
so,
the
okay,
parents...
So, so the Greg solution is to punish the parents.
Well, they should, as a result, as adults...
And if they have zero money, then what they should... Then
well,
what should
in that
they do?
Case, then the state's got to come into play. But, you know, there's a lot of middle-class families out there making $200,000-$300,000 plus.
Yeah.
Who was saying, well, I haven't got time for my children. In the case, I have someone that I know down on Long Island. Same thing. The kids are running around, smashing windows, getting high, smoking pot, smoking crack. And now the big thing down here is heroin for the kids.
Okay. Well, we're running a little astray, but I'm fascinated with your pin it on the parents idea. Thanks, Greg.
Well,
appreciate
all right,
it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Okay. Let's go to Bob in Ashfield, Massachusetts. Bob, your turn.
Hey there, Alan.
Hey.
Thanks for talking to me. Two things I want to point out. My wife, who's a couples therapist and a sex therapist, had worked in the Chicopee Holyoke High School for many years as a counselor, and most of the counseling she was doing was around sex, because that's what the issues kids were bringing in.
I hear you.
You know, that's one thing. The other thing is... And she also runs a group for kids. She started when our middle daughter was about 14 or 15 called Let's Talk About Sex. And the statistics show that when kids are educated and make informed decisions, they make more intelligent decisions. When they're not informed, when they're not trusted to make informed decisions, they make bad decisions. That's what the statistics show. This abstinence-only program has failed. It doesn't work, and it is the school's responsibility to educate them, not just about biology and mathematics, but their own sexuality and also the placement of responsibility and making, both, let's say, teaching them how to think. I mean, that's the basic thing education's supposed to do.
Okay, so wait. So let's parse this for a minute, Bob. You're starting with the idea that we need to do more on sex education in the schools, right?
Well, I think we need to do more on education in general, but right. Teaching them to think and to think responsibly. But sex education is definitely a part of that, just like math and science should be.
And what do you say
to art?
And what do you say to the parents who say, "Bob, you're wrong because when we teach people about sex, they're going to do it more."
Well, the statistics prove just the opposite, actually, Alan. Those who are educated and know what they're getting into often also they know when to say no as much as they know when to say yes.
Okay. Well, I loved your call, Bob. Thank you so much for calling. You make a lot of sense. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Saratoga. Bill, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, a real interesting facet of this whole point that you've touched on a little bit, but to come right out with it, I'm not sure how the school district's going to distribute the condoms, but if a child has to go to the nurse or a science teacher or a health teacher and ask for it, it opens up a discussion with the kid. And part of the problem and all these people saying all the schools aren't teaching and all the parents aren't raising the kids and stuff, the lines of communication have really closed down in modern times. And the fact that this will open up a chain of communication between some of these kids, I think, is a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, the same argument, Bill, was used with methadone. When it got legalized, and when we began to see it, Metropolitan Hospital, New York, the rest of it, which was at least you would have some dialogue with the addict, and it would give you a chance to talk to them and to bring them in the right area. And I think you're saying much the same thing here, right? If you have to go to the nurse or. But what if you just put them out like M&Ms, as I said before, and say, okay, we'll save lives if every kid could just grab as many as he or she wants?
Well, I don't know. You know, in response to the question of, will this encourage more sexual promiscuity, I think having them available like M&Ms, that might lead to that, or at least it opens up that.
But if you don't, but Bill, let me argue with you. If you don't, and you all realize I'm just playing the devil's advocate, and you know
right.
each of these cases,
you do it well.
You know what I want. but if you don't, I am sure there'll be a fall off. If you make the kid talk to the nurse, you'll open up the communication. You're quite right. On the other hand, the person will turn around like at the back of the drugstore. You know, and say, "Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to ask for it. If it's on display, maybe I can afford a couple of bucks to buy them." You know, so you lose something when you make that communication mandatory.
Well, that's true. I see, and I work in the schools.
Yep.
And I see a number of professionals, whether they're teachers, guidance counselors, coaches, whatever, where the kids seem to have a lot more trust and openness, and they'll go to certain adults more than others. And I just think if it can be distributed in a way that it's okay to talk to these people, this is the person you should go and talk to if you're dealing with it. You know,
okay,
I've had this girlfriend for a few years, and we're getting kind of close, and maybe I should talk to someone. I think that's a big plus for the program.
So what you're saying is that there's a wide spectrum here of people.
Oh, sure.
There always is, Bill, and I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to Mark in Pittsfield. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, Alan, I spent 4 years in the Peace Corps dealing with AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not just pregnancy. It's
yep.
AIDS. Sexually transmitted diseases.
Yep.
Things give the kids condoms. If they want them, give it to them. I know it's controversial. If they want them, give it to them. If you can save one life by giving a kid a condom, give the kids a condom. You know?
Yes, I know. I happen to. That happens to be my view, but it's not everybody's.
No, I understand. Thanks for letting me call.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Cheers.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Dennis in Loch Sheldrake. 1-800-348-2551. You've got two free phones right now. Go ahead, Dennis.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
I would just like to say that I called in because I thought this was a pretty interesting subject that you guys broached today. because it's really an inordinate amount of kids my age and even younger than me. I happen to be 20 now, so I'm over the legal age limit.
Sure.
But I noticed when I was in school that there was certainly a lot of kids who were, you know, becoming pregnant, and you would see that, you know, they would, their grades would start dropping off, and they wouldn't necessarily get into the colleges that they were, that they already applied to and stuff like that. So it would set them back, like, big time in life. But, you know, I think it's actually a pretty great idea to have it distributed in schools by, like, other people are saying, by the nurse or maybe a health teacher, somebody who has some knowledge that, like, of, somebody who has some knowledge of, like, of sexual, like, reproduction and who's just, like, a, some kind of a health professional.
So, and, Dennis, why can't you do it both ways? My position is this. Okay, well, hold on 1 second and then come back. If you have a basket and allow everybody to take condoms out of the basket, you will certainly prevent some pregnancies as opposed to that one extra step of going to the nurse. So why can't you do that and at the same time have mandatory sex education classes except for those people who don't want their kids to take them?
Well, I suppose that some people would feel that leaving the condoms out instead of having their children go and talk to, like I said, a health professional,
sure,
would promote sexual promiscuity because
yeah,
it would be available and, you know, the kids would see it and,
well,
maybe
Dennis,
kids who weren't having sex
that
might
is the,
say, hey,
that
there's
is,
condoms here,
that,
you know.
Dennis, that is the argument. That is the argument that we have dealt with from the very beginning. So now we got a real pandemic on our hands. We've got a lot of pregnancy.
Right.
That is, and the schools feel they have to do something about it. Look, they're not just pulling this out of their hat somewhere. They're looking at the stats. They
right,
know what's going on.
And I mean, hey, you guys were, some people were broaching the subject of, what about these, some of these religious institutions that are opposed to having, you know, they
yeah,
want you to refrain from any kind of sexual activity and
right,
preach abstinence.
Sure.
I mean, frankly, that's just quite unrealistic. You're dealing with hormonal changes that are going on, and kids are honestly, they're going to have sex, you know what I mean?
Sure,
so
I do.
So I would rather have, if I had a kid, I'd rather have them have access to as many condoms as their heart would desire, knowing that they would be less likely of having a child at a young age and ruining their life of college and jobs and things like that.
Dennis, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. You're a man who has thought a lot about this. Appreciate it. Let's go to Steve in Springfield. Springfield is the town of the day. Go ahead, Steve. You're on. Oops. Whoa. Steve, are you there? Hello, Steve.
Hello?
Yeah, Steve, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. My wife and I are both teachers in Springfield.
Ah.
So I guess I can bring a little bit different look upon this.
Sure.
I can guarantee you without a doubt that the condom thing is really just another smoke screen that these cities put out. It's not going to put down the pregnancy rate. I can tell you right now, working in one of the worst schools in there, every kid in there is already packing a condom in the wallet anyways. They go down to Rite Aid, CVS. I witnessed a kid at the gas station in Springfield. He had to be like 15. He bought a condom, no problem, from the guy right there.
Mm.
So condoms are very accessible. They're not carding these kids for condoms. Just like they're not carding anymore for cigarettes.
Okay, wait. Now, what is your point?
My point is this is not going to solve the problem. You need to go to the source, so to speak. It's just like when you arrest
okay,
a drug
okay,
dealer.
What is the source?
You go to the source of the government. We do not hold the parents responsible. We want, it's not just pinning it on the parent. It's not only the parent. The parent has taken no actions because they don't have to. There's a rule in Massachusetts, and we use it in Springfield, that as long as a child goes a certain amount of time to school, a percentage, they don't have to pass. They have to show up so the parent can actually collect SSI and anything else for that kid. They don't have to pass. They're court ordered to just show up, which I think is a huge mistake. We're sending the wrong message, saying to them, you don't have to be educated. You just have to show up, sit down, put your head down, and sleep.
Okay, let's go back. What is it do you want us to do?
I think the government has to start holding responsibility to the parents.
Okay, how do you
stop
do
the
no,
hand,
whoa.
Stop the handouts, stop the free ride, because we went with hope and change, and every kid in this nation
has lost
hope and change.
Steve, you're in the trenches. I respect that, but you got to tell us exactly what you want us to do. Not say, okay, we got to hold these people responsible. Tell us how to do it.
stop taking the responsibility off the parents and giving it to the
school. What if there's...
I agree with the caller earlier. He's right. It does take 20 minutes for a class to settle down. It takes a long time. These kids are out of control in the city because they're allowed to be. We're doing these other things, but we have actually, the city has actually cut back on discipline, and they want to add more about condoms.
What do you want? How do you add more discipline into the mix?
You need to have, what's the word I'm looking for now? You know, disciplinary. You have to have. You get into what's the word? I'm so riled up right now.
I hear you're riled up, and I hear you're frustrated, and you're doing God's work as a teacher. Go ahead.
And you look at the inner cities. There's a reason why it's worse than inner cities. One reason everybody wants to blame is lower income. It's not because they're lower income. It's because that type of style of people have been allowed to do that. They don't have to speak
English. How do you stop it? Come on, Steve.
Every parent I have in a school doesn't even speak English.
Steve.
How do you communicate with the parent when they can't even speak English? They don't have to.
This is a program about solutions. I'm asking you, because you're in the school, you're obviously knowledgeable. You keep sort of, I know that you're very angry and frustrated. And riled, as you say, but you got to tell us what to do.
Because we have to hold parents responsible.
What if the
city wants to hand out these letters about these condoms, which my school's going to be talking about in 2 days about how we're doing this. But my problem is that's not the problem. We think, more access to condoms. They have access to condoms.
Well, I'm not sure that's
right. They already have access to condoms.
I don't think everybody has it. I don't think everybody has it.
You should see these kids. They're rolling in with, they got more condoms than I ever had in my entire life.
Steve,
you know,
that just shows our age. Hey, Steve, thank you. thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Bye.
1-800-348-2551. One free phone because Steve is off. Be with us, and we have about another third of the program to go. I love the discussion, and I respect you all. Thanks very much.
Support for WAMC comes from New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners, working to help parents prevent and reduce youth smoking with prevention programs to counter tobacco marketing and help save lives. New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org. Shakespeare and Company, presenting The Tale of the Allergist Wife, a comedy starring Annette Miller as a woman on a mission to expand her mind. Now through September 1st, shakespeare.org. Woodstock School of Art, Woodstock, New York, offering studio classes in fine art, no experience necessary, woodstockschoolofart.org. RJ Stables, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned dining establishment since 1960, open for breakfast and lunch until 2, offering homemade breads, cookies, and pastries, parking available, 413-586-4305. And Oblong Books and Music, hosting author John Kelly discussing his book The Graves Are Walking, The Great Famine and the Saga of the Irish People, August 30th at 7 p.m. in Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com.
Okay, now remember that you can check in on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. Luke says, if a child goes to school nurse for condoms, is the nurse mandated to notify the parents? Parents cannot be allowed to be blissfully ignorant about the happenings of their children. If the parents decide to ignore it, that's their prerogative. I'm a new parent, and I plan on being very open about sexuality with my child. And Nancy says, agrees with the condom policy, but adds, male students should be given a lesson on how to use them properly. The student should be praised for being responsible and actually caring about his girlfriend. The girlfriend in question should be seeing the nurse for both birth control options herself. Condoms by themselves aren't 100% effective. And Kimberly checked in to say, you do not have to be religious to be moral. In this day and age, we need to supply our children with as many tools and as much information as possible to make the right decisions. Condoms do not promote sex. They are a tool that a responsible person can use. Okay, remember, you can tweet us at VoxPop. And, of course, you can get to our Facebook page. It would be wonderful to hear from you. And remember, comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Let's go back to the phones now, and let's go to Melinda in Cheshire. Melinda, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, a few things. One problem is the whole issue of kids confusing sex and love, and that has to be dealt with. You know, a lot of times people just want intimacy, they want closeness, and they don't know any other thing except to have sex. The other thing is a lot of people don't believe that their body is their own, and that's something that needs to be
dealt with. What do you
mean
by that?
Because people think, well, you know, what's the big deal to let somebody touch me, if even if I'm not into it, you know, I should do this because he wants it so badly, or, you know, or she wants it badly, and, you know, they feel like they owe it to somebody. Oh, he took me to the movies, or he gave me this or that. And, you know, this whole idea of feeling like you have to barter, that that's something that you have to use. That in different kinds of deals.
And how do you deal with that, Melinda? How do you stop it?
Well, we need to have these discussions in the classroom. There's a lot of good young adult literature that deals with all these issues. No. And these are the kind of things that, you know, teachers need to be learning how to teach and discuss in the classroom, because it's easier than having kids talk about themselves. If they can talk about a character or, you know, a movie, whatever, it bring. But the teachers need to learn how to teach. The teachers are boring. They don't know how to control the classroom, and you know, I'm not blaming it all on them. The classes are too large for one. So, and then they're cutting back on the arts and recreation, and you know, drama, and you know, they should be. Kids need other ways to express their sexuality through dance and sports and arts and things like that. Right now, they're cutting back all those things. Kids don't have anything to do except have sex.
Well, I agree with most of what you've said. The last thing I want to do, though, is blame our teachers.
I'm just saying, though, that I'm a teacher myself, and I have been overwhelmed in classrooms. And teachers need to have really good guidance, especially when they're new. We don't know how to, you know, how to have a class discussion. Mm-hmm. All we know how to do is stand up and tell them what to think, or, you know, because we had crummy education ourselves.
Well, let me just disagree with you. I mean, we've all had bad teachers, and we've all had very good teachers who do exactly what you're saying.
I had no good teachers until I got to college.
Wow.
And then the other thing is that some girls want babies because it's an instant identity. They don't know who they are. And then, you know, you all of a sudden you're going to be a mother, and you feel like, okay, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And they have a romantic idea about what that's going to be. So all those things need to be discussed. I think the condoms, you know, there has to be condoms, because we're living in a different age. It's not just about pregnancy. It's life and death. You know, we have AIDS. You know, it's not even just about pregnancy. Those days are over. We have to talk about, you know, no
saving
matter
lives.
What, condom use. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Melinda, I'm going to stop you there, because there are people behind you. I want to give everybody a chance this afternoon. But you make great sense in everything you've said. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Let's go to Paul in Monroe. Paul in Monroe, you're on.
This is Carl from Monroe.
Carl, okay. We just got it wrong. That's all right. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, good doctor. I thought Melinda had a very, very very pertinent monologue there. She had a lot to say, and it was correct. I thought you indulged Steve a little bit too long. He really didn't have any solutions, and punishment certainly isn't going to fix the things. But if you remember when you were 12 years old, there was no controlling you. Myself included.
Are you kidding? When I was 12 years old, there was a lot controlling me.
We can't control you now. Forget about 12 years old. But at 12 years old, the sexuality is just jumping out all over you. Why we limit these kids and we force them to go to nurses and to identify themselves, and possibly our parents would know. I got a daughter who's 30 years old now, who is totally sexually aware, and she was since she was 12. That's when I was talking to her. But I'm an enlightened parent. Most parents try and hide these things, that it's not something that they're comfortable talking about. If we talk to our kids, you know, sex is a wonderful thing, even for young people. I mean, I was doing it at a young age.
But it's not everything. That's what we have to teach them. It's not everything. And I think Melissa said something very important. If you have no self-worth, a child is going to give you that identity, somebody else to love you. And that's really important. You got to teach these kids, you know, how to be something other than parents before they're 18 years old.
Paul, I thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Carl.
Oh, Carl, I'm so sorry. But let me ask you a question, Carl. What's the difference if you're Paul or Carl, since nobody knows who you are? Yeah. Well, anyway, let's go to Melissa in Sunderland. Melissa, go.
Hi there.
Hey.
So I just wanted to speak to this idea that having access to condoms
sure.
will increase your desire to have sex. And I'm just talking from my experience. I'm in my mid-20s. So me, myself, deciding to have sex, losing my virginity is still a pretty recent experience. We had condoms in a bowl on my kitchen counter from the time I was 12 or 13 years old.
In your
old.
House?
In my house.
Okay.
And I was one of the last people in my circle of friends to actually decide to have sex much later.
What did your parents, Melissa, why did your parents put that out there?
Just because they wanted me to be safe, and I grew up in a pretty sexually expressive, not a right-wing kind of household. And my mother, because she was raised Catholic in a very repressive household, really went out of her way to try to not instill me with a lot of body shame and shame about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was her main goal because she had to struggle with that so much in her adult life, as so many women who are raised in a sort of oppressive faith seem to have to do to find any kind of peace with sexuality at all. So I just wanted to say that as someone who was a teenager not that long ago deciding to have sex or not have sex, I always had access to condoms. And if anything, it definitely pushed back me losing my virginity by at least a year or two, I think.
Just explain. Take one more second because I have a lot of people behind you. But what pushed it back? You mean because you knew you could grab those condoms, it repressed your need to have sex?
It was like I wasn't always looking for an opportunity or a moment like a lot of my other friends. I had a safe place. I had condoms. So I knew that whenever I decided I was ready, I was pretty much all set up. You know, losing your virginity is a huge milestone. It's
yep.
sort of your first step into adulthood. So, you think a lot about it, hopefully, before you decide to do it.
You think when you're 12 years old, it's a first step into adulthood?
Well, you know, obviously that's pretty complicated.
Yeah, no, it is. And
that's
what this
is all
about.
Very complicated. Obviously, there's a lot else going on if you're 12 years old and you're deciding to have sex. I mean,
yeah.
You're not getting some of your basic emotional needs
you
met.
Bet.
If that's,
you bet.
Yeah.
Melissa, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Jason in Catskill. Jason, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Just wanted to maybe make a critique of a previous caller.
Sure.
You know, as you know, I'm only 25 years old, and as a younger person, I'm so tired of hearing about how my generation is so morally corrupt.
Yeah.
It is literally a constant theme. And I just wanted to make light of the fact of, you know, my parents' generation, you know, people who grew up 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, you know, my impression of then was sex was everywhere, literally. I mean, you know, I've watched documentaries and things where there was clubs where you could just go and do that. I don't know
yep.
about those happening anymore. You
yep.
know, we are far more conservative now than we were during those times.
Except, Jason, and I don't disagree with your premise, because I think sex has been around since the cave people. You know, obviously the Springfield schools are doing this because they have an epidemic on their hands. They wouldn't do it otherwise.
Well, I mean, you know, yes, there is, you know, and it's certainly been brought more into the light, but, you know, how much, I mean, I guess not everybody knew, you know, what happened or how much it happened, obviously. You know, you know, yeah, I'm not in school now, but I mean, I grew up, you know, they taught us, they still, you know, living in upstate New York, they still taught us about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I knew what to do, what not to do, that kind of stuff. And certainly yeah. my, you know, parents, you know, I started having sex at a very young age, and my parents never obviously condoned that outright. You know, I'm
yep.
sure they had an inkling. You can't hide everything from your parents. But just the fact that, you know, we're not talking, you know, the kids should be involved in this conversation. They should get the choice. Like, should we be allowed access to this stuff? I mean, yes, they're only starting at 12 years old, but.
Now, that's a very good point.
Tom?
That's a very good point.
You know, our educational system, if our education system can be given any credit at all, they should be allowed to critically think. And they should be, you know, that's what you are taught. You should be allowed,
Jason,
you know, be able to critically think enough to analyze, should I be giving this? Should
okay,
I be
Jason,
able to
Jason,
this?
I'm going to stop you there. I think many of your points have been excellent. I just want to make sure we can give everybody a little voice here, okay? Thanks
well,
an awful
lot. Well, that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Albany. John, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
So there's been a lot of talk about the problems with this. This should really be something that falls on parents rather than schools.
Yes, yes.
And I thought of, a comment on that. Maybe this is something that could be taxed or penalized through financially.
How do you do that? How do you do that, John?
You'd have to somehow determine if parents have a dependent under a certain age that have a child. You'd have to penalize them through some sort of tax or maybe a tiered approach based on the child's age when they had a
and maybe the parent's ability to pay. Because I guarantee you that some of this is going to be affecting people who have literally no resources.
Well, yeah, that's true. Maybe it would have to be percentage based on what income they do have.
Yeah. Hey, John, thank you very much for that. Very good idea. Let's go to Shayna in Troy. Shayna?
Yes, hello. So my input on it is it takes a whole community to raise children.
Yeah.
And I feel that everybody is responsible for the raising of the youth. And when it comes to giving condoms, on one aspect, there are youth that are not into those kind of things right now. But when you put things into their reach, then it gives them the curiosity thing. At the same time, the parents should be talking to their children. Like, I have two children of my own, and I showed them the diseases on the internet. I showed them what is out there.
Yep.
And make them, like, have a fear of, okay, this is what's out there. I don't want to play around. But some of these children are raising themselves. So when it comes to the responsibilities, who do we blame? Who can we put it? It's the whole community. When they go to school, they should really be educating them on the diseases. When I grew up, all these diseases were not out here. Some of these diseases are popping up on the scene 5-6 years ago now.
Okay,
you know?
Whoa. We got to stop you only because, not that you're not saying some very important and good things, but we want to try to get everybody in. Thank you, Shayna.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, let's go to Ted in Shelburne. Ted, very quickly.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sure.
This, in a way, relates to your frustration with what to do, and sometimes you need to start with the parents that are now in elementary school. There's a website which describes a program which has been going for a number of years. It's called rootsofempathy.org. And it gets into bullying and, indeed, parenting. It's a program. You can't just pick it up and put it in your school, but it's in many schools in many countries.
Okay, give it one more time, Ted.
Rootsofempathy.org.
Okay, Ted.
And if you punch to research, and then click again, you'll see some charts that relate to many of these things. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Ted. We're running out of time. I want to say, Kirsty says on Facebook, I read an article once about a sex education program in a school with a high pregnancy, which combined education about condoms with programs about self-respect, self-esteem, choice ranking. That school saw a drop in teen pregnancy rate. I think a program which combines a grounding in self-respect along with tools needed to respect and protect oneself could be very valuable. And Heather says, tweeted us at Vox Pop to say, I'm wondering what 12 or 14-year-old will be brave enough to ask for condoms. I'd like to see a follow-up in a year to see if the policy was effective. And Kimberly said, you do not have to be religious to be moral. And in this day and age, we need to supply our children with as many tools and as much information as possible to make the right decisions. Condoms do not promote sex. They're a tool that a responsible person can use. And let's see. I'm afraid we're sort of out of time now. Andrew in Ulster, you got 30 seconds. Can you do something in 30 seconds, Andrew?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I just want to say the argument that condoms promote sexuality seems similar to me that the argument that bike helmets promote reckless bike riding or airbags promote reckless driving.
Okay.
It's a preventative measure. It's not something that causes that, but something that will help prevent bad consequences from it.
Okay. Well, it makes a lot of sense to me. Thanks for calling. We have left Ken from Stone Ridge on the phone, but I'm so sorry, Ken. We are out of time. Thanks to everybody. Support for the Box Pop comes from the Red Lion in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering accommodations for celebrations and business events with access to the Berkshire's outdoor activities, redlioninn.com, and WMHT Production Services, providing high-definition video production on location, post-production editing and graphics, as well as full DVD duplication services, WMHT.org, and Brattleboro, Vermont, featuring galleries, musical ventures, and theaters throughout Greater Brattleboro, Brattleboro Chamber.org, and Miss Hall School, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a boarding and day school for girls in grades 9 through 12, hosting an open house October 7th and class visit day October 8th, MissHalls.org. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the magnificent Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. I'm sorry. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, another exciting open forum. Stay tuned now for a news update.